All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Christmas special, Christmas Eve special. Let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together around the nation here via the internet to fellowship in your word, to think about what the coming of Jesus meant for us, what his mission was, what his purpose was, and how that should apply in our lives here today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right, here we are, Christmas Eve night. Christmas, he came to heal. Christmas, he came to heal. We're going to start out in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verse 68, and it reads, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Now, I'm going to say this really quick. You know, a lot of times Christmas rolls around year after year, and we think about the baby in the manger. You know, at least a lot of Christians do. Most everybody else is thinking about Santa Claus, this big fat guy jumping down your chimney and giving you presents, right? And then riding off into back to the North Pole with his flying reindeer. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, those of us Christians that think about the baby in the manger, I think it's also important during this time of year that we remember what that baby came to earth to do, okay? What was his purpose? What was his mission? Why are we celebrating his coming, okay? Is it just a ritual that we do and we think about, or does it have meaning and purpose, okay? To every Christian, it should have a meaning and a purpose. Now, I'm not going to get into the technicalities that Jesus was really born during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall and was conceived around December 25th. We're not going to get into that. We're just going to talk about the coming of Christ to this earth at his first advent. All right, Luke chapter 1, verse 68 says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." That's what God, that, you know, God sending his son was a way that God would visit and redeem his people. Amazing. Okay. That's what Jesus came to do at the first advent, to restore his people, to purchase them back from the power of sin. Verse 69, "And he hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Okay. Who was the son of David? Jesus Christ. He was the horn of his power. Okay. Horn always symbolizes power or might. Okay. Jesus came as the Messiah, you know, a powerful savior. Okay. A powerful savior through the house of David. And verse 70, "And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began." Okay. The first coming of Jesus was foretold of throughout all of the Old Testament. In fact, when Jesus came here, after his crucifixion, he was walking with his disciples and they didn't recognize him. And he was showing them all of the scriptures from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible at that time of the Old Testament, all of the scriptures that pertain to his coming. All right. Verse 71, "that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us." Okay. That's what the Messiah's role was. Okay. To save us from our enemies, to save us from the hand of all those that hate us. Now, this is kind of a twofold thing. You know, Jesus did that more in the spiritual sense, I guess you could say. At his first advent, he gave us the light of truth and knowledge, and then his sacrifice atoned for our sins, and we were free from the powers of Satan, and we were redeemed. But also at his second advent, Jesus is going to physically come back and save us from all our enemies. Okay. Victory. That's what this baby was born for, to bring us victory over our enemies and everybody who hates us. Now, verse 72, this is what I want to concentrate on here today, mostly, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Now, one of the ways that we see Jesus perform mercy to the house of Israel all throughout the four Gospels was that he performed many miracles. People came to him possessed with devils. People came to him with various sicknesses. You name it, Jesus had mercy and compassion upon his people, upon the Israelites primarily, and healed them, okay, through his mercy. Verse 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. Okay? Fear is one big thing that's going around constantly. You go to the store today and you see people like this, right? They got something over their face. And they're walking around looking. People are driving around in their cars with masks on. Okay? People walking around outside with masks on. It's all fear given to us by the enemy. Okay? As Christian believers, we are supposed to serve God without fear, okay? Without fear. In holiness, oh, check this out. In holiness, oh, I don't know what that is. I mean, I just believe that Jesus, I just tell Jesus I'm sorry or tell God I'm sorry in Jesus' name, and I just keep sinning. I'm a sinner. But I don't ever strive to obey the commandments of God. No, that would be too much work. And by the way, that would take away from the bloodshed upon the cross if I work. Does that make any sense to anybody? That sounds like a lazy socialist leftist claiming to be a Christian is what that sounds like to me, right? That is not true. That's in holiness. That's how we are supposed to serve God. In holiness, that's purity, okay? Spiritual purity. Moral purity, okay? Those are important. Now, some people would take away from the importance of this because they say, oh, you're preaching holiness. You must be a scribe. You must be a Pharisee. No, that's totally different. There's nothing wrong with teaching holiness. In fact, if you want to be the pure, undefiled bride of Christ, you better strive to live a holy life, okay? Because I'll tell you what, the harlot, Mystery Babylon, the harlot church, the people that belong to that harlot system are going to be judged with fury, okay? All right? In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So when Jesus came, it didn't change the idea that we are supposed to strive to live holy and righteous lives. No, his coming didn't give us the excuse to just sin as much as we want and not strive to not sin. Or we use his blood shed upon the cross to disobey God. That's ridiculous. In fact, that's insane for someone to think that that's okay. All right, so in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life, okay? That was part of the message of the coming of Jesus. That's why I read those verses, okay? In fact, that prophecy, I'll just go back there to Luke chapter 1. Those were prophecies that came out. These were words that were spoken by John the Baptist's father, okay? John the Baptist's father. All right, verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4. We're going to jump over here. I talked about this a little bit already, and it's in our title. Why did that little baby come in the manger? What was his purpose? Was it just because he was cute and innocent and there was a star and people came and gave him gifts? Okay, it didn't end there. The story didn't end there. There's nothing wrong with celebrating that event. In fact, I think it's actually kind of fascinating to try to dig in and figure out what the Star of Bethlehem was and who these magi were and things like that. But what I'm talking about is when people just mindlessly go through the ritual year after year, just thinking about this one scene and that's it. Okay. That's it for the rest of the year. They don't study the Word of God chapter by chapter and verse by verse. They just go there and they think about the gifts that were given to baby Jesus. And then they just figure, well, Santa Claus gives gifts. It's kind of like Christmas. It's a gift giving holiday, right? Which obviously there's nothing wrong with giving gifts. But when we take Christ out of Christ and his mission and strip it out of Christmas, then we are celebrating something else. We're celebrating commercialism. And you know what commercialism is? You know who likes to trade in commercial goods and make money and all those types of things? Remember who Mystery Babylon committed fornication with? The merchants of the earth, okay? The merchants of the earth. She was waxed rich by people buying and selling goods, okay? And we don't want Christmas to become a celebration of Mystery Babylon and enriching the kings of the earth, or the merchants of the earth. All right, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel, what does that mean? The good news of what? That the Savior has come, okay? And now check this out, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Now, many of you probably can tell by the title that I'm most likely going to tie this Christmas message in with what's going on in the world today. If I didn't do that and I just was like, let's just be merry today and forget about what's going on in the world, that would be kind of silly. Although we should be merry about all of it, but we have to be joyful in the truth, not just joyful in the season, okay? Joyful in the truth. And Jesus went up, so part of his mission was he preached the gospel of the kingdom, but one of the main things he did while he was here, in fact, I'll say it this way, there were approximately 37 recorded miracles. 37 is an interesting number for those of you who study biblical numerics. I'm not going to get into that. It has to do with creation and things like that. But nevertheless, that number just jumped out at me because in my studies of that, I saw that number a lot in various things. But anyways, 37 different miracles, okay? That were recorded. And his disciples said he did so many more things that we didn't even write about that could fill up libraries. Okay. So we're only reading a fraction of the healings and things that Jesus did. I mean, he touched so many people's lives. It says he healed all manner of sickness. Okay. So evidently, Christ at his first coming, that was important to him, to heal these people from their sickness. Who was making them sick? Why were they getting sick? Those are good questions that we could think about as we do this study. And his fame, verse 24, and his fame went throughout all Syria. No, I'm gonna just go back there really quick. When Jesus performs a healing, okay? When Jesus heals a sinner, we're all sinners. When Jesus heals a sinner of their sickness, of their plague, of their disease, it is a divine act of mercy. I was waiting for somebody to get it. All right. Mercy that we read about. Remember we read about the baby coming and John the Baptist his dad was so excited. He says he's going to show mercy to the house of Israel. Well, God showed a lot of mercy by having his son come to this earth to heal many people, okay? And I feel like the physical healings were important, but they also taught the people a more in-depth message about how Jesus was coming to heal people, not just of physical illnesses, but of their spiritual illnesses. And you know what? Many of the physical illnesses and the healings that Christ performed were directly connected with spiritual things. The spiritual and the physical kind of go together. Many times when people are sick physically, it's the result of a problem, not a chemical imbalance of the brain, but the psychologist would say and say, hey, go to Big Pharma. They'll fix you up and make you feel like you're happy, right? No, it would be, the problem is people have a lot of physical illnesses today, and we don't even understand it all, but we know from the Bible that they are oftentimes connected with a spiritual problem, a spiritual void, some form of sin against the body or against your own self or something like that. Now, are we saying that everybody who's ever sick is a rotten sinner and they deserved it? Well, we're all sinners, so we all deserve whatever. You know, we deserve much worse than what we get. But there is the case of Job, so there are exceptions to the rule, right? Job was a righteous man, and God allowed Satan to inflict Job with boils and sickness and things like that, okay? But most of the time in the Bible, when we read about sicknesses and diseases, it's the result of God's people and or any people of the world violating divine laws, okay? Violating the commandments of God. All right. And Jesus came for who? Sinners, okay? A lot of these people were sick because of various sins. In fact, Jesus, somebody might be offended right now. Just wait, hold on. You'll see where Jesus will specifically tell somebody he heals that they were a sinner, okay? And to go and, I'm not going to spoil it. You might have figured it out. Matthew 4, verse 24. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. And again, I'm going to talk about it. We've got things going on in our country today, around the world. We've got this plague that everybody talks about nonstop, okay? You'll see why I mentioned that. So are all these people taken with diverse diseases. Now notice it says, and torments. Disease and torment mentioned right next to each other there. They're kind of similar. Diseases, sickness, they torment you. They make you feel not good. The degree of severity varies depending on the sickness. And those that were possessed with devils. And those that were lunatic. And those that had the palsy, and he healed them, okay? These were all sicknesses, okay? The being possessed with the devil is a sickness. It's a spiritual disease. You're inflicted or being tormented by demonics, okay? Jesus, all these people were broken, in other words. These people were broken in many different ways. And Jesus came to what? To heal them. All right, to heal them. And there, to show them mercy. And there followed him great multitudes of people. Did I just skip it? Okay, no, there we go. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. All right. So many people followed Jesus because of his ability to heal and the compassion that he showed upon the people. And you know what? We can learn from that today. You know, there's this thing going around the world, and the mainstream medical systems are doing things, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because this is actually in the study. They're not showing mercy and compassion to many of these sick people. In fact, many of the times they're saying, you know what? It's your fault that you got this. And might be many, you know, a lot of times it's abuse on our body and our immune systems aren't operating like they should be. And that's why you could get in that. But they take it from a different level. They say it's your fault that you're dying because you didn't get the sorcerer's potion. All right. You guys know what I mean when I say sorcerer's potion, okay? It's that thing that they're telling you to get all the time, and if you don't get it, you're going to see a dark, dark winter. Okay? So should I put my trust in Jesus to keep me free from diseases and follow his commandments, or do I have to go listen to bumbling Biden and these other people that are, you know, the great wizards and say, please save me from the dark winter that's coming? Is that what we should do? Is that what the message of Christmas is all about? Who's the savior? The wizards and the, yeah, good. The wizards and the sorcerers who can brew up potions for you? No. In fact, that's the opposite of Christmas. What we're seeing, even in America today, is people doing the complete opposite of what the Bible tells us to do, okay? Jesus has the power to heal. Look at, he healed all manner of sickness and disease, and yet we run to the sorcerer and we wear masks because they tell us to. It's from a biblical standpoint, we have compassion upon that silliness. We understand that these people are lost and confused and they're putting their trust in the wrong things, because the sorcerer's potion is going to do what? It may make you think that you are whole for a time, but guess what? There's a song out there. It says, if you want to dance with the devil, ultimately, you're going to have to pay your dues, right? If you play with the sorcerer's potion, there's going to be a payday for you. The sorcery might help you for a time, but you're going to owe something to the sorcerer, and it may be your life. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Let's skip over here now. And when Jesus was passed over again by the ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, now this is an important chapter, okay? I've been kind of mocking the mainstream medical community. I've been talking about how they're using sorcery and things like that. This chapter here is going to, Jesus is going to be talking about that here, okay? Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. All right. Where was the medical community? Why couldn't the mainstream medical community heal this people and all the other people that Jesus was healing? And why are the people going to Jesus for healing? Think about that back then. Right now, they're not doing that, are they? Right now, they're going to Big Pharma. Big Pharma, give me a magic potion pill and let me, oh, please keep, and I'll give you all my money, right? They keep doing that. But I think at this point, the people started figuring out, and maybe this kind of cycles throughout history. This happens through periods. The people figured out, hey, the physicians really aren't that good. They're not helping us. Okay. Now there are good doctors, and Luke was a physician and things like that. And there are Christian doctors today, but I'm talking about the system. The system had failed these people, right? The system had failed these people. There were so many sick people during Jesus's time looking for help because they couldn't find it anywhere else. Okay. They were not being healed by anybody else. So this guy besought Jesus greatly, saying, my daughter lieth at the point of death. She was on her deathbed, and he knew it. And he was desperate, and he came to the Lord and said, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. He believed that. Now we say that today. In fact, this platform that I'm on right now sent me a message and said that I violate certain guidelines, and they will rip me off of their channel if I say that prayer can be an effective treatment against that thing that's going around the world today. Can you imagine that? That is directly opposite. That is anti-Christ. That's an anti-Christ message. You're not going to be on our platform if you say that Jesus can heal. Whoa. Or how about prayer? Okay, how about prayer? Check this out. Verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Okay, they knew that he could do it. Man, don't you just wish people would do that today upon his word? They would throng to Jesus's word. They'd be picking up their Bible saying, hey, how can I have a spiritual and even physical healing? How do I do this? Help me, Lord, and pray and things like that. I'm just trying to think about this. Did we ever have a national day of repentance and prayer in America because of this thing that's going around? Did any leader call for that? What did they tell you to do? You better get the sorcerer's potion. And if you don't, you're killing your neighbor. No prayer. No thronging Jesus and his word to say, hey, maybe we're doing something wrong. Maybe this, you're allowing this plague to come upon our nation and even individuals for their own violations of your commandments. Okay? No, they don't do that. They did back here. This is spectacular, actually. I would love to see that today. And a certain woman, now we're not talking about Benny Hinn's and characters like that, or they pushing people down and blowing on them and spitting on them and playing games, okay? That's not what Jesus was doing. And a certain woman, and I'm not promoting, that's what we need. So I'm not saying, hey, we need a bunch of spiritual healers to go out there and be crazy and fake it, okay? We're talking about the real thing here. Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue, now it's going to a different case. Now, this other guy comes up to Jesus right away and said, and he's begging Jesus, hey, my daughter's at the point of death. You need to come over there now and lay hands on her and pray her. But Jesus is now distracted by another sick person, okay? Another sick person. And a certain woman, there are a lot of sick people back here at this time. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered. Now, this is what I came here for, okay? And had suffered. She was sick for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, not just one bad doctor, but a lot of them, okay? And had spent all that she had and nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, okay? Rather grew worse. You know, somebody's probably thinking, Pastor Ben, what kind of a Christmas message is this, okay? Isn't that ironic? You think about that? People are so lulled into, I want to go to the program ritual. I want to go to my church and see all the things that I see. And that's what Christmas is about. But yet when you actually read what Christmas is about, you read Christ's mission in action. And some people say, that's not part of the Christmas spirit. Healing, Jesus is his mission. The reason why you celebrate him coming in the manger is because of things like this that we're reading about. Okay? Because he could do things that the world couldn't do and nobody else could do. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He is the Christ. So anyways, doctors seem to have a hard time even back here getting things right. And she actually went bankrupt. She went bankrupt, okay? I'm going to pull something up real quick here. She went bankrupt. Because and her health got worse. It grew worse and worse. Does that happen to some people today, especially with this thing? Okay. Now I'm saying, is Pastor Ben saying that all doctors are bad and that everybody who goes to the doctor gets worse? I'm not saying that at all. It depends on what illness you're supposedly talking about, right? If you're talking about depression and anxiety and things like that, the doctor's going to make it worse. I almost guarantee you. Okay. Because all the people that are on these antidepressants and stuff, guess what? you would think that, oh, since they're going on the, those medicines, right, that they're getting happier and they're not harming themselves. But you know what? The opposite is true. The suicide rate for people on medications, antidepressants and things like that, is higher. So are they healing people? No, not for that. If you break your arm and you go in the hospital and they set your arm and they fix it and all that, that's a real healing, right? That's real medicine in practice. But these other things they delve into, when doctors try to delve into the physical mind of a person when it's a spiritual problem, they are totally out of their realm of capabilities, and they're harming people. Anyways, now check this out. The Pharisees, at this time, the Pharisees had robbed the people of their spiritual health. Remember, Jesus would kept ripping on the Pharisees. They robbed the people of their spiritual health, and the physicians here, many of them anyways, at least in this case, robbed the people of their physical health and, or made their physical health worse and robbed them of their physical wealth. Okay? Boy, sometimes when I read this, I'm like, well, isn't that what we see today? And I'll give you an example. Hospitalization costs in Minnesota for this current plague, we'll call it. If you go in there and you get put on all those extra machines to help you breathe and things like that, your average bill is going to be $260 in Minnesota. Actually, some states are way worse than this. I'm giving you Minnesota because it's the state I live in. $262,000, $262,910. That's a house. You're sick for, let's say you're in the hospital for a month. Now you owe as much money as you owe for your house. Think about that. And some people say, well, I have insurance. It's, the insurance isn't covering all that. You know, you're still going to be paying a big bill. And nevertheless, it's still enriching who? Somebody. Think about that. And if you go to the hospital just for a little bit with this current plague, you're going to spend, on average, $44,631. Okay? Now, think about this. Remember this girl that had this issue for 12 years? She went to many doctors, and she spent all the money she had, okay? People are going there, and they're going into debt when there are cheap medicines available that work. People could probably, if they knew what they were doing, or if the medical systems allowed this, these people could probably spend $100 or so and be fine. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? So the hospitals now, which is interesting, you know, there are a lot of hospitals in America. I was looking at a map and I was looking at all the names of the hospitals. Did you know most hospitals in America were actually founded by Christians, by churches? You'll see all kinds of hospitals named St. John's or this or St. That. And then you'll also see this is the one that stuck out to me. Many hospitals called Mercy Hospital. Everywhere throughout the United States. Mercy. Why? Because when someone is sick, Christians believe that we should show mercy to them, comfort them, try to nurse them back to health. Okay? That's what Jesus did here when he healed people. He was showing mercy. All right? But now the hospitals, instead of the hospital systems in general now, instead of being like they were when they were originally founded as places of mercy, with probably people with big hearts and compassion that wanted to form these places to help sick people, now they're becoming places of cruelty and death. Think about that. Instead of a place of mercy, these places are becoming places of cruelty and death. And worse than that, they're doing it and they're making money off of it. You don't really get much more evil than that. when you think about that. These people that go into these places should be showing mercy and compassion, and they get the opposite. They get all of their money taken from them and oftentimes led right to their deathbed. And it's unbelievable. You know, yeah, I could go on and on. You know, all right. I'm going to read this quote. Okay. I'm going to say this. You know, when somebody gets this sickness that's going around, they're separated from their family. A lot of times they won't let family members come in and visit them. And all they're doing is a lot of times the people that are caring for them are people who are blaming them because they didn't get the sorcerer's potion and thinking it's their fault. They're probably grumpy and crabby. I've been hearing a lot of stories like that from people everywhere, okay? That the care is just not there. And that is not good. That is not good. I'm going to read a quote here. You would think that they would open up, you know, I don't know if this is done or not. Maybe somebody could correct me. You think they would open up these patients that are really sick with this disease? You think that they would let pastors and ministers come in there and pray with them? But in many cases, that's not allowed to happen. All right? It's not allowed to happen. I'm going to read a quote here from James. This guy named James Morkin. I don't really know who he is. It was an awesome quote, so I figured. So if this guy is a nutcase or a weirdo, don't blame me, but his words are wise here, so I figured I'd read them here, okay? He says, "Big pharma needs sick people to prosper. Patients, not healthy people, are their customers. If everybody was cured of a particular illness or disease, pharmaceutical companies would lose 100% of their profits on products they sell for that ailment. What all this means is because modern medicine is so heavily intertwined with the financial profits culture, it's a sickness industry more than it is a health industry." So there are people that make a lot of money off of people being sick, people in big pharma. So do you think the big pharma, if the hospital is their salesman for all of their drugs, do you think they're going to push for people to really get healthy, or do you think they want more money so they can enrich themselves? Of course, they want more money. They don't care if people get healthy or not. The system in general. Now, we're not talking about every person in these industries, okay? All right. Let's move on. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For this girl that was broke, she had nothing. She was bankrupt. She spent everything she had at these worthless medical professionals. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So here was a case where the doctors couldn't do anything but take the money from her and made her worse. All she did was touch Jesus' clothes, and she felt the illness leave her body right then, after being sick for 12 years. All right? 12 years. Amazing. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, this would be kind of, you know, this is kind of a surprised reaction. You know, the woman's probably now like, "Oh my gosh, I'm not going to, you know, what am I going to say now?" Because she just reached forth and touched him without asking. And Jesus turns around and says, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me?" So now the disciples are even getting a little bit flippant here and going to Jesus. What are you getting mad about? There's so many people here. How the heck are we supposed to know who touched you? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. You could imagine her just like, oh no, they're yelling at each other. It was me that I touched. Oh. But the woman, fearing and trembling, you know, she's shaking probably like, oh no, what did I do? Knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Okay. Now she didn't deny it, which was good. She was scared, but she admitted and said, you know, it was me. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. All right. That is really cool. No, that's this phrase really has stuck out in my mind a lot. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. What is often done today, you get into these medical systems, they're not necessarily building up people's faith. Now, you might have some good nurses, some good doctors that'll do that. But part of healing is having a good attitude, number one, okay? Wanting to be healed and believing that Jesus can do it is the main thing, okay? But you got to have a good, your spirit has got to be lifted up, all right? You can't be sitting there not wanting to be healed and expect that you're going to get healed, okay? All right. Now, I'm going to jump back real quickly to 2 Chronicles. Now, did I miss a few verses there? Let me see if I go back here. All right. I might have missed what I was going to get to there, but... I think I have some points that relate to it anyways coming up. All right. That's the thing about sometimes when I do slides like this, not in my actual Bible. In my Bible, I can just look ahead. But anyways. All right. So we're going to go back to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12, and read about another. We're comparing and contrasting the Savior, right, and his healing powers with that of the world, okay? There was nobody like him, and there never will be anybody like him. The people were desperate. They were in need of a healing, and Jesus was there to heal. But now check this out. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Think about that. How many people do that today when they're sick? I got to go to the doctor. Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to the doctor, and don't get me wrong. But if you put your all your trust in the doctor to heal you and you never go to God, you never call your family over to pray over you, or you don't, you know, meet with other Christians and say, hey, I have this disease. Can you please pray for me or pray with me? This Asa here was supposed to be one of God's people. He's a type of a Christian, all right? But he never once sought the Lord for healing. But only went to the doctors, and guess what? Guess what happened to him? He died, okay? He died because he went and trusted in the medical system and neglected God, okay? That's happening today. It's happening over and over and over. As I'm speaking right now, someone is dying because of this choice, okay? Because they thought, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to seek out God in his word. I'm not going to find some Christians with wisdom that might know what to do in a situation like this, a Christian doctor or somebody who has wisdom when it pertains to these things. Now they say, call 911, just get me to the hospital. They'll take care of me. And then guess what? They get to the hospital. And it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse until they say, just shove the vent into that guy, right? And move them somewhere else. And then they die. Okay? It's very sad. Number one, I could say in most cases where that happens, if people would follow the health laws, number one, they probably wouldn't be in that condition. Now, I'm not saying that everybody, and nobody follows them perfectly, okay? So don't get me wrong. But we know that this disease attacks those who are not taking good care of their flesh for the most part, or somebody who's old, okay? John chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to go back to here. And this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethsaida, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So there was a big group of sick people, okay, of crippled people, sick people. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, there is some speculation on this. Some people think that this verse is being kind of said in irony, like all these people really go into this pool and they weren't necessarily all being healed. They just believed they were. And so everybody would come here and they would say, oh, there's an angel that comes in here. And when he comes in here, after he leaves the water and you get in and you're healed. I don't necessarily know what the case is on that. It seems like that would probably be the case, because Jesus is going to show up on the scene here and actually heal somebody. So oftentimes when Jesus does something like this, he's comparing and contrasting the fake with the true. Okay? The fake with the true. Nevertheless, these people were desperate. They thought this pool healed them. You know, it's kind of like a lot of people today. They think that if they see a statue of Mary crying that they might be healed or something like that. I don't know. There's people say that they see a statue of Mary crying. I've heard all these stories like that. You used to be Catholic. Maybe you know some of these. I couldn't help it. Sorry. Anyways, let's read on. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years he was sick. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? So Jesus asked the guy, and this is why I believe that maybe this was more of a myth that these people believed in. Because Jesus asked the guy, he says, hey, are you going to be healed if you go in that pool? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, because he was crippled, he couldn't get in the pool by himself. He says, nobody's carrying me in there and everybody's getting in there before me. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. That's why I believe the other thing was probably fake, because Jesus just says it with his words and just commands the guy to rise, take up your bed and walk. What do you think is going to happen, kids? I'm sure he's going to walk, right? And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Okay. Now this is kind of be interesting. We'll tie this in with what's going on today. But immediately the man, he just got up and walked. He didn't have to go into the pool. Jesus was able to heal him without all that extra strange stuff that was going on there. Verse 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, oh, check this out, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. All right? Think about that. Are the Pharisees really that much different than the liberals today that say, how dare you come in here during this thing without a mask on? I don't care if you're healthy. I don't care if that guy healed you. You're not wearing a mask. You can see the same. Their mentality is so, I mean, these guys are so out of whack that Jesus just healed this guy, and now they're ridiculing the guy for being healed. How about those people that are getting the medicines they need and the prayer and stuff like that, and they overcome this, and they didn't get the sorcerer's potion? Do you think the modern-day Pharisees think that's great? Well, you should have had the sorcerer's potion anyways, you imbecile, and wear a mask too! Right? All right, so we know who the modern-day Pharisees are today. You see them in their car with their masks on. You see them walking down the street with their mask on. You see them taking pictures with their mask on. Right? So they can be seen and heard of men, and that men think they're righteous when they're a bunch of imbeciles. All right, verse 11. I know this is getting long. I thought I didn't have enough verses, but we have enough here, I think. Kids are being good and patient over there. He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk." Now notice Jesus, when he heals somebody, he expects them to take action, to get moving, right? When you get healed, you don't want to just sit there and say and sit there and think about, oh, what it used to be like when I was sick, and just sit there. No, you get up and you move, right? Actually, many people say that moving is part of healing as well. Then asked they him, "What man is he that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk?" Who is this guy? Where is he? Why did he heal you? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, now this is important. Afterward, Jesus finding him in the temple, the guy he healed, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole." Now check this out. Some people might have been offended when I connected sin with disease, sin with plague, sin with stuff like that. Jesus says, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." So this guy was sick for 37 years because of some sins that he was committing that got him there. Now, we know of many sins today that can get people in a lot of trouble, right? People can get, if you want to be sexually immoral and do those things, there are a lot of sexual diseases that can harm people for the rest of their life. It could take one time, and you're plagued the rest of your life with certain diseases. Some people can get AIDS from sexual sins and die. I mean, these things are real, okay? Whatever this guy did was the result of something he had done, either morally or physically to his body. Now here's the point. When we're looking at this pandemic that's going on, and I've been talking about the importance of it, and why do I do that? Is Pastor Ben supposed to be, is he trying to just be a Pharisee, a legalist, by saying that this disease that's hitting people is hitting people harder that are not taking care of their health? Am I trying to do that? No, I'm trying to convey the message. When Jesus says, go and sin no more, if you come through this pandemic, and let's say you're 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight, and you're eating a lot of processed food and junk, and you happen to get God's mercy, and God's mercy, you are healed, right? If you get through with that, and then you keep damaging your body and not even attempting to strive to follow God's health laws, a worse thing may come upon you. You may have thought this was bad that you had. Wait till you get the next one, okay? Do you guys, I mean, this is serious stuff. Go and sin no more. Now, what bothers me is when people say, because they'll either just take Job's situation, where people accuse Job of being a sinner and that's why he was sick, and God says they don't know what they're talking about. So now they apply that to every single case, and they say that no one ever gets sick because of their sins. It's just the way it is. How can that be if that's what Jesus just told this guy? Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. The sickness was directly connected to the sin. And if he kept sinning after the healing, then a worse thing would come upon him. How can we tie that into the Christmas message? Well, let's just talk as a big picture here. Jesus, the great healer, right, came to save us, redeem us, and save us from the power of sin. Now, as Christians, we love that mercy. We're like, thank you, God. But thank you. I'm saved. I'm free. But if we then turn around and willfully sin and not even strive to follow his commandments, what does God promise? A worse thing will come upon you. Okay? In other words, once saved, always saved. Maybe you were saved and you were always will be saved because you can't take away the fact that you were saved. But once you're saved, it doesn't mean that you make it into heaven, right? Because if you go and sin and sin and sin willfully, there's another scripture in the New Testament says there is no sacrifice that can take away your sin after that, if you're doing it willfully without even striving. So the point is, Jesus came in the first Advent to bring us mercy, to heal, you know, save us from our sins. You know, we do things stupidly. He understands that. And he says, here, I'll save you. But then if you keep doing that nonsense and you don't even strive to live a holy and a righteous life like Luke talked about, when Jesus comes back, you will be judged. Okay? You will be judged the second time. All right. Then the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. All right. And that is the end of the study. I already pretty much gave it a conclusion, so we'll leave it at that. And we'll be right back for questions and comments in a brief moment. Be sure to join us live every Thursday morning, 9:30 a.m. for prophecy updates, and Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. for our line-by-line Bible studies. If you live near Princeton, Minnesota, and would like to join us in person for our Sunday morning church services, please email me at ben@christianovercomers.com for details and directions. Also, be sure to visit our website at christianovercomers.com to sign up for our weekly email updates, find our latest prophecy updates on video or podcast, catch up with our line-by-line studies, also available on video or audio podcast. And we even archive all of our studies by date. So if you have a phone or a tablet, bookmark this page so you can play our studies on the go while you're driving, going for a run, or doing chores. Now to our questions and comments. All right, welcome back. We will take questions and comments. Do we have any from our online?
Philip Evans says, the word healing in Malachi 4:2 and Revelation 22:2 has a whole new dimension. Is nowadays, it just adds a lot, he's saying.
Oh, yeah. And I think I saw his comment earlier in another video where the Son of Righteousness came with healing in his wings. I'm trying to remember the exact quote. But, yeah, fascinating. Thanks for sharing that.
And then Bread of Life says, holiness means not to be double-minded.
Right? That would be part of it.
And then Philip Evans again, he will come with healing in his wings, like what you said, yep, at the second advent, also Malachi 4:2. And then he also later on is referencing Jeremiah 8:22 and 46:11.
Okay.
And then it's interesting that the very last chapter of both the Old and New Testaments mention healing.
Okay. Yeah, it certainly, you know, when I thought about this topic, and I always like to tie things into what's going on in the world today. Like I said, I don't like just going through the formalities like people do and make it a ritual. Looking at Jesus, I mean, it was impressed upon me that a large part of Jesus's ministry was healing people. And we're dealing with that same situation now, where people are given a choice. Are we going to do it God's way, or are we going to do it the world's way? And the world's way always ends up in misery. You're bankrupt. You're still broken with no healing.
Looking up those.
Lucy has a question really quick. Here, let's pass it. Come on up.
That means mean, like, that you always have, like, was it, is, does that mean that you, like, no matter what, it's because you sinned, or, like, even, like, just even, like, you only got sick because you sinned a little bit, or, like?
Every time. No, shit. That's a good question. It would take a child to think of a question like that, right? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that that is the case some of the time. Because I can remember sometimes when I got, washing. If you don't wash your hands, right? We're supposed to be holy and clean. God says, be holy for I'm holy. And if you're not taking a shower and you're not washing yourself, maybe you slipped up on your, you know, what you're supposed to do to stay healthy. Another thing it could be, I can remember a couple times when sickness was going around and I wasn't sick yet. And then I ended up, eating something that had a lot of white sugar in it, you know, like a piece of cake or something like that. And all of a sudden, next morning, boom, all of a sudden, now, oh my gosh, I was fighting that off and now I got it. So I do think that that is a real thing, that most often when we get sick, it's because maybe that week we're not eating that good. You're not getting the proper nutrients, where if you did it, you know. But I'm not going to, you don't want to get to the point where you're blaming every time somebody gets sick and you say, oh, Lucy, you're sick today. What kind of sin did you commit? Right? We don't want to make it like that. Or then, you know, when next time Jacob gets sick, Lucy will say, oh, a rotten sinner my brother is, and I'm not sick. Right? So I don't think there's a sin gauge that we realize, oh, Joshua, he's got the sniffles today. He must have sinned just a little bit. Oh, Jacob, he's throwing up. He's got the stomach flu. Big sinner. All right. So we don't want to do that with it, but there is a cause and effect. I mean, Jesus said it, or what is it? Exodus chapter, is it 5 or 25? Where God says, if you follow, he's talking about the nation as a whole. If you follow all my commandments, I will keep you free from disease, and I'll put all of those diseases upon the Egyptians and not on you. So there definitely is most of the time, sickness and disease is stuff that we bring upon ourselves.
Yeah, but it's also can be caused from germs, right?
Yeah. Yep. But like was just said, if we don't stay clean and we're putting our hands in our mouth and we're not, that could be a result of us just not being disciplined to be clean, and then we get sick. But like I said, we don't want to become a bunch of legalists, and every time we get somebody sick, we got a little sin chart that we're saying, oh, so-and-so is really a big sinner. Because there was, now let me qualify this because we want to be very careful with this. There are some people, there was a person in the Bible that was crippled or was born sick, born deformed or something like that, and I can't remember the case. They couldn't walk or they were deaf or dumb or something like that. And the Pharisees said, who sinned? Was it his parents or was it him? Okay. And then Jesus said, neither. He is crippled so that God could show forth his glory by healing the boy. Okay? So sometimes people are sick not because of a sin, but because God wants to touch somebody's life because of that sickness or tragedy. So we want to be very careful. We don't want to be creating a bunch of Pharisee judges here. Yes, Jacob.
I kind of thought it was interesting, back to the, when Jesus healed the girl that, was sick with blood problems, I kind of thought it was interesting that in the potion, that some of the side effects is blood clots, that a lot of people have a problem with blood clots, and all the physicians did with the girl who was sick, blood, it just grew worse, and she had more blood problems.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's interesting. The connection with the blood being her problem and this plague that's going on. It affects the blood and the potion that people are taking to try to save themselves from this is harming the blood. Good point. Thank you for bringing that up. I don't exactly know what that means, but it's very interesting note. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is there another question?
I just wanted to...
Oh, here, let's get the mic over here.
I looked up the verse that Philip Evans was referring to, and in Jeremiah 46:11, it's good. He says, "Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured."
Oh.
So here, you know, she's doing all this stuff in vain, and, oh, I'm going to take this medicine and that medicine. And
right.
The physicians and medicines could not heal her.
And like I said, I think it was in our last study. You don't, because we know of certain medicines that are helping and that the medical community isn't prescribing, we still can't put our faith and trust in those medicines. We still have to do all the other things, prayer and, you know, taking care of our bodies and doing those types of things. Okay. We can't just say, oh, the medicine's going to save me. Even if it's a good medicine that is working for a lot of people, we don't want to be like Asa, right?
Unnatural medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. First. Yeah. You know, there's that one that starts with an I and there's other ones. I personally would stay away from those unless I had to. And I would stick with all natural herbs and things like that because I don't want to be a part of big pharma in any way possible. Okay. Now, am I saying that if I had some bacterial infection and I needed an antibiotic, am I saying I would never take that? No, I'm not saying that, but I would do everything I could beforehand, hopefully before it even got to that point. So I wouldn't have that. But if I got to that point, I'm not saying that I wouldn't, take something. But I think it's our due diligence that if we take care of these temples and we the best we can, that we're probably not going to be in a state like that, at least not very often. Any other questions or comments? Hey, anybody want to come up and wave at the camera? Huh? Anybody want to say Merry Christmas? Anybody? No? All right. Well, I thought maybe they'd want to do it. Okay. Maybe another time. All right. Hey, that's it for today. We hope that everybody has a Merry Christmas. Remember? Oh, now they're coming. Now they're coming.
Merry Christmas.
Here we go. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody. Like we always say, stay in His Word every single day, so that you can be a Christian overcomer. God bless.
Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you would like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible sword. His truth is marching on.